From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. When the United States decided to go to war in Iraq, the Italian government of Silvio Berlusconi was one of a handful that wholeheartedly supported the Bush administration. But the Italian people were overwhelmingly opposed. Today, in part three of our series, America Seen Through European Eyes, NPR's Sylvia Poggioli reports on Italy and its long history of complex and contradictory relations with the U.S.
A vast, freshly mowed lawn reaches all the way to the horizon.
We just passed the gate, and we are actually in the United States territory.
Silvano Casaldi, curator of the Allied Forces Museum in Nettuno, takes us on a tour of one of the largest U.S. cemeteries in Europe.
There are 7,861 soldier buried here.
In the shade of Roman pines and cypresses, there's row upon row of white marble markers, crosses, and Stars of David, stretching over 77 acres. Many of them are American GIs who landed in Anzio nearly 60 years ago. It's along this southern Italian beach that one of the most ferocious battles of World War II took place. This is a recording of the landing of more than 50,000 Allied soldiers at Anzio on January 22, 1944. The amphibious operation was a dress rehearsal for D-Day 6 months later. Trench warfare against the Nazis lasted nearly 6 months. With no safe place on the beachhead, soldiers described it as a turkey shoot. And there were nearly three times as many casualties at Anzio as at Normandy. Despite huge losses, Anzio pinned down Hitler's elite units, thus hastening the dictator's defeat. Amerigo Salvini was born just after the Americans arrived. He was named after his country's liberators.
I remember my father's story. He goes to the window, and see three soldiers. They are American, 3rd Division Infantry. And it was very, very emotional because my father, he was an anti-fascist, okay? He don't like Mussolini. And when see for the first time the American people, he say the liberatore. Ah, thank you. Grazie, grazie.
The American campaign progressed northward, and in June, Rome became the first European capital to be liberated from the Germans. War-weary Italians cheered and welcomed the American GIs ecstatically and with gratitude.
È stato trionfale. Loro, io me li ricordo perché intanto...
It was triumphant. I remember the soldier tossing us cigarettes, Lucky Strike cigarettes, and then chocolate, and we were so hungry.
Film director Giuliano Montaldo was 14 then. He describes the exciting new world the Americans brought with them.
E subito ho sentito il boogie-woogie, e poi il Chattanooga choo-choo.
We heard boogie-woogie for the first time, the Chattanooga choo-choo, and then Abby Lane, and Armstrong, and Ella. All those voices. It was constant discovery.
Rita Hayworth.
And then Rita Hayworth, with those lips, those thick lips made for kissing. It was freedom, freedom of behavior and customs. In the movies, we saw people drinking, drinking like Hemingway. And for the first time, we heard the sound, the tinkle, tinkle of ice in a whiskey glass.
The next few years were heady. With the injection of massive U.S. aid under the Marshall Plan, Italy had an economic boom. And although its large Communist Party put Italy on the East-West front line during the Cold War, the country enthusiastically embraced American pop culture and the consumer society. It was cool to be American.
Tu vuoi fare l'americano, americano, americano. Senta me chi do fa fa. Tu vuoi vivere alla moda, ma se bevi whisky and soda, poi ti senti disturbato.
Then came the years of La Dolce Vita. The Cinecittà Studios turned Rome into Hollywood on the Tiber. And in the mid-60s, a new genre was born, inspired by the quintessential American myth, the West as seen through Italian eyes. With a fistful of dollars, director Sergio Leone introduced the world to spaghetti westerns.
Al cuore, Ramon! Al cuore!
Giuliano Montalto worked with Leone. He says the director amplified the Western myth more than any American movie maker ever did.
Eccolo il mito americano.
The American myth is made of wide open spaces, cavalli, horses, silences, wind, of harsh gazes of strong men who have to conquer immense territories. Leone had the American dream, but he knew that in the soul of every people there is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
By the late 60s, in response to America's involvement in Vietnam, spaghetti westerns turned political and began to stress the ugly. Leftist screenwriters wrote proletarian westerns where the U.S. was depicted as the oppressor of the poor. Italy began to be openly and stridently anti-American.
I think that during the anti-Vietnam War fights, the key motto was that we would defend l'altra America, the other America.
Giuliano Ferrara is an Italian neocon, the editor-in-chief of the conservative daily Il Foglio. But he used to be a party apparatchnik. It was the time when the Italian Communist Party was the biggest in the West. Taking its cues from Moscow, the party ranted against American imperialism during the Cold War. Ferrara says he and his comrades were convinced that the entire American counterculture was a fellow traveler.
It was the idea that America contained two opportunities. The opportunity to be with John Baez, with Bob Dylan, with the universities, with Martin Luther King, with the civil rights movement, and at the same time, there was an America of the government, of Lyndon Johnson, of Richard Nixon, which was the bad American, the bad guys. We had this kind of mechanism. We, I mean, the Italian Communist Party.
The working-class neighborhood of San Lorenzo is a bastion of the left. In July 1943, an errant American bomb was dropped here, killing perhaps as many as 3,000 people. That tragedy is commemorated with a monument at the center of a rundown little park. Four old artillery shells around a marble column, the names of the dead carved on sheets of plexiglass. In a corner, groups of old men are playing card games. For them, the wounds of 60 years ago have not healed. It's immediately clear that Americans are not welcome here. Franco Porpa was 6 years old during the bombing. He remembers the bodies strewn all over the streets.
America, ci hanno mitragliato gli americani.
What do I think about Americans? They machine gunned us down while we were running to them, our liberators.
His friend Dario Rossi is even more blunt.
Well, if Bush were not around, there wouldn't be any war in Iraq. It will be all over.
Political analyst Ernesto Galli della Loggia says Italian anti-Americanism is not limited to the left. He says equally strong sentiments can be found in both Italian fascism and Catholicism.
Parti vedevano la stessa cosa, cioè una civiltà materialistica.
All three ideologies perceived America in the same way, as a materialistic society dominated by materialistic values. A society with an arrogant, actually an imperialist foreign policy, a system with no social solidarity, which keeps the poor on the margins, where the treatment of blacks is seen as the symbol of the injustice that dominates American society.
The Catholic Church's antipathy for American society has deep roots. In 1899, Pope Leo XIII condemned the supposed heresy of Americanism. After World War II, Pope Pius XII opposed Italy's entry into NATO, fearing the alliance was a Trojan horse for Protestant domination of Catholic Europe. And in the 50s, the governing Christian Democrat Party bowed to Vatican concerns and expelled from the country numerous American Protestant missionaries. In recent months, it was Italian Catholics who were in the forefront of opposition to American military actions in Iraq.
Quando la guerra, come in questi giorni, in Iraq.
In his appeals against waging war in Iraq, Pope John Paul II became unofficial spokesman for the anti-war movement. Alberto Meloni is a church historian.
the voice of the Pope really became an important reference for Catholics. The voice of the Pope did express a strong anti-American feeling in the Italian public opinion and in the Catholic public opinion, and what is not so acceptable from a Catholic point of view is that the US administration is making choices that are not simply inspired by realpolitik, but are made in the name of moral values.
The Ave Bookshop is a few hundred yards from St. Peter's Square. It sells books about religion and theology. Inside, we meet Father Claudio Bucciarelli, who is eager to tell us what he thinks about the American president.
Secondo me, un linguaggio dove il nome di Dio è nominato in vano.
In his speeches, Bush takes God's name in vain. It is wrong when religion is identified with politics, but it is equally wrong when politics identifies with religion. This is fundamentalism. This is just like Islamic fundamentalism, and has nothing to do with the Word of God.
This spring, thousands of windows and balconies throughout the country were festooned with a Made in Italy rainbow peace flag. The anti-war movement brought together Catholic activists, the traditional left, and young anti-globalists. Polls indicated 70% to 80% of the public oppose the war in Iraq, according to Roberto Benotti, a researcher at the Italian Aspen Foundation. He says this is a manifestation of the multiple strains of anti-Americanism in Italian society.
Italians have always had a somewhat contradictory, maybe paradoxical, relationship with the U.S. as a country and as a nation and as a great power. There was a love affair, but it was complex and constantly shifting.
Menotti believes the gap between the two societies is widening and that many Italians feel Americans have developed a dangerously simplistic mindset.
The sense that the world is essentially black and white, is essentially good people and bad people, good countries and bad countries. And this explains why we tend to feel that America is going essentially the wrong way.
Silvia Poggioli, NPR News.